Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Last week we heard the parable of the sower. How graciously, generously, abundantly, and consistently God is sowing the seed of His Word to build His church, to produce good plants, believers, who yield a harvest of faith and love. This week we hear that Jesus isn't the only one sowing seed. The devil is too. The seeds of sin and evil in God's good world. And so there is evil in the world, no surprise there. You know it. It's all around you. The news is full of it. And it seems that not a day goes by when you don't shake your head at all that happens in our world that shouldn't. And the question many are asking is why? Why doesn't God do something about it? Well, there are two answers that are often given. One is that God doesn't care enough to do anything about it. Or God doesn't care enough about you to do anything about it. Either He is detached and uninterested, or you are unworthy, too sinful for Him to intervene. Either way, He is not a God you can count on when the going gets tough. Or another answer often given in derision against Christians is that your God can't do anything about it. He wants to, He cares for you, but look at all that's happening. If He could do something about it, don't you think He would? So your God is not as strong as you think. He is weak. And even Christians can fall into the trap of thinking these kinds of things. When things are going bad, when things are going wrong in our lives, sometimes we do wonder if God really does care about me and what's going on in my life and why He's not doing anything about it, at least that I can see or feel. Or we give the devil too much credit, thinking him more powerful than he really is, that he is foiling God's plans and God is not strong enough to do anything about him. And that's exactly how the devil wants it. The temptations he plants in our minds to think too highly of him and too lowly of God. But today in this parable, God gives us His answer to the question of why. An answer that is quite different than those we often hear and quite surprising. And it is this: God allows the evil to stay. He doesn't pull the weeds now, Jesus says, not because He is weak or uncaring, unable or uninterested, but because He is merciful. That's also what we sang in the intro today. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. You see, we often think like the servants of the master in this parable. We are the servants of the master in this parable. We want the weeds pulled now. And the garden, the world, to be pristine and pure like it was in the beginning, before sin. So sin, weeds, pull them out. Get rid of them. But there are a number of problems with that kind of thinking. The first being the assumption that we actually know the difference between good plants and weeds. I know that in the gardens around my house, some plants that I think are weeds are really good plants, and some that I think are good plants are really weeds. So by my judgment, what seems to me, I'd often be pulling up the wrong plants. But God is merciful. No good plants will be pulled. A second problem is that when the weeds and the plants are growing so closely together that their roots and branches get intertwined. And as Jesus said, uprooting the weeds would uproot the good plants or hurt them by breaking off their branches. Now think about this for a moment. Who are those people in your lives? Who are those people who are not believers, not sons of God? Do you want them to be pulled right now? Friends? Family? Neighbors? People you count on for help, for protection, for what you need? If they were pulled right now, what would that mean for you? No. God is merciful. No good plants will be hurt. Another problem is that while in the world, weeds cannot become plants, the same is not true for God. You are an example of that, in fact. You were born by nature a weed, but are now a good, fruitful plant grafted by baptism into Christ and forgiven your weedy ways. So pull the weeds now? No. God is merciful. No weeds will be given up on too soon. God is merciful, not wanting any to perish. Which is why Jesus was there telling parables. And why he is here today. That by his word, by his cross and atonement, by his forgiveness, by his baptism, absolution, and supper, he continued to graft weeds into himself, making good plants out of what was evil, and producing a harvest of faith and love. And he is. You and I may not always understand how that is, and how certain things that happen in our world are merciful. But we do not trust what we understand or know or feel. We trust our God who is merciful and who showed his great mercy in Christ and his cross, that he would come and be uprooted from this life. That he would come and die for us weedy sinners. That by his blood, we might be good plants in his garden and sons in his kingdom. So if that was his plan from the beginning and what he accomplished in time in Jesus, don't you think he is working that now for you? There will be a time for harvest. It's not now, but at the close of the age. And we won't be the reapers. That will be the angels. That day has not yet come because God is merciful. and patient, not wanting any to perish. It is for us now to be who we are. Good plants, sons of God, and grow where He has put us, trusting and growing in faith toward God and love toward our neighbor. Until that time, Paul says, be like creation and wait with eager longing for that day of harvest when all will be revealed, when we will finally see what we cannot now see. So maybe the weeds and the evil one are causing you suffering right now. Maybe even your fellow believers are, who are acting weedy. And when we suffer, when things are going bad, it's easy to get all self-absorbed and filled with self-pity, and it's easy to focus too much on the here and now and on the problems and the pain, and we can't see anything else. And we lose hope. And so life can become quite overwhelming in the midst of the weeds. So, take a cue from creation, Paul says. Creation didn't do anything wrong, you know. It was man who sinned. But glorious creation was subjected to bondage and decay and death, and now waits for its creator to set it free, to restore it, renew it, recreate it. Perfect again, with no more death, no more weeds, no more evil. Creation is waiting, it says, with eager longing, like the woman waiting for her child to come, or that child up on tiptoes trying to get a glance of the coming parade, or waiting for Christmas. The joy is coming, and it can't come quickly enough. So too for us. We are in bondage to decay and suffering and death. Your own sins weighing you down, the sins of others erupting upon you, and the evil one attacking relentlessly in this weedy world. But God is merciful. God is merciful. And so we're not hopeless, just waiting for the end to come and end our suffering. What kind of life would that be? If that's the way it were, why not just end it now and get it over with? God is merciful. So while all creation can do is wait with eager longing for the end, our God has done even more for us. Our God, in mercy, is bringing the end to us here and now. For He is coming to us here and now. Not just waiting at the end, waiting at the finish line for us to get there. He is coming to us here and now, coming to us in His Spirit, giving us that joy, and beginning already the renewal, the restoration, the recreation of the end. Already here, in the midst of the suffering, decay, and death. And it happens in holy baptism, where the end comes to you. You get the end, death, over with, here. Dying with Christ in His, and rising, grafted onto Christ in a new life. He is the vine, you are the branches in this garden, in this new life. And it happens in the Lord's Supper, the end coming to you here and now. As you not only eat the body and blood of the one who is coming again, But as you get a foretaste of the end of what is coming, a foretaste of the feast to come, like that great cook who gives you a taste of her delights before they are even served. But for you, it's actually even better than that. For you're not just getting a taste or a preview, but actually joining in with those who have gone before us, with those who have already been set free, joining with them already now in the marriage feast of the Lamb and His kingdom, which has no end. And then also in absolution, the end comes to you now. As you, not only your weediness is forgiven now, but you hear the verdict that will be spoken to you on that last day, that you are forgiven, that you are righteous, that you are His. And all this so that there be absolutely no doubt, no question, no fear in your mind at all about that day or about your Lord caring for you, but that you live now, even in the midst of suffering and trouble, with confidence and joy, not in resignation or despair, but in surety and in peace. Because your Lord is with you, helping you, forgiving you, changing you. And this breaking in of the end already here and now is what we prayed about in the collect for the day earlier. If you remember that, or you can look in your bulletin at it. We prayed, O God, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit who comes to us and breaks into our here and now in your word and sacraments. So rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit that ever mindful of the end of your final judgment, or in other words, help us to live not in fear of that day, but mindful of the joy and freedom that is coming. That ever mindful of your final judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness of living here. Holiness of living, not giving up. And dwell with you in perfect joy hereafter. Perfect joy. Our joy here is not yet perfect, but it will be there. And know this too, Paul says, that the sufferings of this present time, they're not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. So do not lose hope in this weedy world. Even when the weeds are growing tall and plentifully and strong all around you, they will not win. They cannot win. As it was said last week, God will have His harvest, and that's still true. For Christ is risen, and your hope is secure. He has given you His Spirit to be with you now and help you as you wait. As God does His patient, merciful work for you and for all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.